Today's daf is daf vav, Masechet Moed Katan. So we're holding in the middle. Yes, we were choshesh that in the case we have a marking around the field to indicate that there is a kever in the field. So the question was, why don't we say that maybe the ilanot are planted around the inside and the kever is on the outside area? We answered by quoting a similar situation that Ula said was talking about, that the trees themselves are around the edges of the field. So then today the Gemara asked the obvious question, so that we just say the opposite. Maybe the opposite then. Maybe indeed the kever was not between the ilanot, and therefore why should we assume that it was necharash, as the Gemara had said before? Maybe it's dafka the ilanot are on the outside, sort of like a marker around the marker, and the kever itself was not really ever necharash. Answers the Gemara, no, what we meant was that they are mesubachim. It's talking about that they're not around the edges, meaning like a marker around the edges, that they come up to the edges is what we mean. That actually the entire area is misubach, like we use today, complex, intertwined. So it means an intertwined area of trees in which all of it would have had to have been necharash in order to maintain those trees, in which case we can now safely assume that this is a type of beta pras in which the kever was necharash, which makes all type of nafkaminas lalacha in terms of tumas ayal versus tumah b'maga, whether you can go through by simply blowing across it and so on. V'bayit ema, or we could say, look, it's very simple. It couldn't be that the case was that the ilanot were avroy and the kever was simply sitting there somewhere in the middle area. Maybe it speaks simply because Amran ein bar chikin tzion mimakom tuma shelo lafsid Eretz Yisrael. If indeed the kever would have been further in, then we would never have marked the outside area, because then the people would naturally have assumed that the tuma was immediately after the marker, because the halacha is that since every place that we mark is going to be an area which is tameh and therefore not usable for many things in Eretz Yisrael, would only be mops in Eretz Yisrael. So we always put the marker right up against the area which is tameh. So it doesn't make sense to assume that the kever was somewhere in the middle. They put the marker around the edges, which would have lost us another couple of meters of the area that is now treed, because nobody would have put the marker that way. It's awesome to do it that way. Okay, there are other approaches also, but I think that's the simplest. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, notice that what we said was that the only way that you can rely 100% that this is, that you know what type of kever this is only if, but the episode of this is only Achiesham Zakeno Tamid. In order to be makpid, to recognize the difference, what type of Beis HaPras, to realize the Dinim of Tuma, but there was a kever that could have been Nechrash and so on, not everybody is reliable, just the Talmud or the Zaki. You see from here, though, the opposite is also true, that we take for granted that there's an assumption of responsibility by a Talmud Chacham in a location to become aware of the history and of the problems that would be related to that history. What does he know? I'm sitting in a base of Medrash. Well, I'm not the one to ask. Go ask him. That's the attitude today. You see, the whole point over here is that we're assuming that, of course, it means he's responsible. Who else is responsible? This really is a halachic issue, because the din is, you notice the lashon of Ramya. The din is that milta de lo Ramya alinish labadaita, something that's not your responsibility. You don't really pay attention to, and because of that, we bedafka would not be able to rely on something like that. Therefore, what he's making is really a very clear cut halachic analysis of what it means to rely on the Talmud Chacham. It must be the Rabbi Ramya. It's not just probably he's responsible for it. Otherwise, he wouldn't be reliable. Amar Rav Yehuda, Matza Even Mitzuyenet Tachteha Tamid. Based on this halacha about Ein Marchikin, so there's really two issues that we have. It's true Ein Marchikin, but on the other hand, if we just would be misamin the actual kever, so then a person might not even notice that he's walking on the kever until he looks down and notices the line. If you have over here Avanim, so what we always will try to do is use the Even as the marker, because an Even sticks out, so people could see it from far away. And they don't come, therefore, to tread on it. So there's the halacha that we mark right up against the area would be in a case where we could actually see it. So if you find an evan, it's mitsuyene. So then you can assume that directly beneath it is tame, and only directly beneath it is tame, because we didn't have to worry about making it a little bit before to make sure that you didn't tread directly on the kever. Because over here you see it from before and you stop. So that means that the evan is a marker underneath which there is a kever, but you don't have to worry if you walked by a foot before the evan, you didn't get to the kever.
But that is an amazing thing.
Not necessarily. It could also be atzomes. Remember, the derech of it then was to wait until the body decomposed and then to bring basically a container of the remains. So it, only tachtei atamein. I mean, not, not to mention the fact, doesn't say how big the oven is. I mean, like it certainly had been the type of kever that we make. Shtayim, if you find two such avanim, so then im yesh sid b'nehem, b'nehem tamei, v'im ein sid b'nehem, b'nehem tahor. If you find that there's some line that's between the two stones, so then you have to assume that the area in between also originally had been poured lime over. It doesn't stick all that well to the ground, but then probably between it's also tameh. But if there's no sid, then you can assume that everything's okay. Ask the Gemara, what? Aflagav de leka choresh? Wait a second. You're saying that if there's no lime, so then even though there's no markings of anybody having plowed the area between the two stones, it would still be assumed to be tahor? Doesn't it say in the Brighton, not like that? Vatanya, matza even achat b'tzuyenet tachtei hatameh. Shtayim, if you find two, now here's the case that we're looking for, it's the case we just had, and instead of simply saying shtayim, just imein sid, that it's tahor, instead it says that shtayim im yesh choresh b'nehem, then b'nehem tahor. V'im lav b'nehem tameh. If you don't have signs that somebody plowed in between the two stones, then it seems to be saying that you have to assume that even though there's no sid at all, that the avanim on either side are talking about graves that are between the two avanim, which is a complete contradiction of what Rav Yudah just said. And it says the Gemara, Omer of Papa, no, hacha, when it says that we're talking about where leka choresh tamei, that's talking about a case kishasit shafucha rosheyem umurudel lekan olekan. What we're talking about over there is that there are speckles of sid between the avanim, so that you can see that the avanim are very well sidded, so they're lime, the thick lime, and we all know what happens when we lean up against the old sid walls, you know, the lime has a tendency to come off all the time. So over here you do have chips of sid, basically. Merudeh means that it's sort of lightly on the surface, you know, squished down. Merudeh, we talk about the rizidim of the zav and so on. You want to have gold paper, gold foil in the Mishkan. So rizid is, I mean, in this case, of course, it means like chips. You have like little chips that are between the stones. So then you've got a problem, because then indeed it looks like the area in between was originally lined. Obviously, it's going to be tamei. There we say that if you did the harisha between them, so then we can assume that what happened is that as they moved by, every time they moved the plow by, they chipped off a few pieces and it spread now to the area in between. So then, if you have choresh, you can rely on that and assume that just the oven itself was the marker. But then the b'neim tahor, because emor machmat choresh udik. There, I assume that the reason that we have these pieces of seed is because they bumped into it. But otherwise, you'll have to assume that what we're looking at is remnants of the original liming of the ground in between. So the ilo sid beni beni hu vitamei. And if not, we have to consider it to be the sid in between, and therefore it's tamei. No, if it would be, so then that's a different type of marker. Here we're talking about stam in heaven, not part of the keren itself. And if it's part of the keren, then it itself is matame. It's not just a marker. Omravasi, meitzer achad mitsuyan. If you find a field in which one edge of the field, remember that the field in those days were not, they didn't just end where they ended, and that's what's meant by the meitzer. The meitzer was actually an area that was raised around the edges, and that's the way that they marked it. Instead of fencing it, they had like raised ground around the area that was that field. So it's clearly discernible what field is a field, a discrete area that belongs either to.
The border was raised?
Yeah, the border was actually raised. Gemara says. Yeah, exactly. It's a physical marker. Also, it provides places for walking without damaging and things like that. So, you still see it. You do still see it here. Maybe that's the end. Maybe that's right. It's in Ireland that I noticed it. Yeah. Yeah, I know that I've seen it. So if you have one edge of a field marked off with lime, so then you do not consider that to be a marker of the field. You consider it to be a marker of the marker. In other words, what it means is that there are kforim that were underneath the area between the fields, but that did not extend into the field. So this is a typical case in which we're not marking mina atuma, and it's this area itself which is not. I mean, after all, we don't normally plow up a field in which there's a kever, so it makes sense that that's what happened. Same thing would be true with two. Shnayim, meim tumeim v'chola sada kula tayra. Shloisha, meim tumeim v'chola sada kula tayra. But once you have arba'ah, then ein tahorim. Then on the contrary, then what we assume is that what we're talking about is a marker that was raised so that it would be visible from afar to indicate that immediately subsequent to crossing this line, you're tamei. And any time that you enter into this field, once I've now delineated the area between the markers, so then the entire sada es tame. The Yom Amar ein marchikin tzion mi makom tuma. Shlo lafshid Eretz Yisrael. We certainly would not have marked the Sada as tame as a convenient use of the raised area around, but actually the kever is on the middle of the field somewhere. You don't have to be chayshish if you just walk in directly. Because since we're not marchik, it must mean that the entire area in between is tame. Otherwise, how could somebody have simply poured seed on the outside? Maybe the tomb is a couple of meters further on, and now people will assume that it's tame. So Mevela, we're certainly relying that this is a marker of the field itself. Okay. Others learn it the opposite sense. Why is the thing itself not tame? But this I think, is the way it makes it.
So this is like four-quarter, and then there's seed in between.
Right.
Like the field.
I was thinking about the diamond. It's on that.
Take a look at the cultural differences.
But
it's just amazing that they're both relating it to death somehow. I know sports are violent, but
not
overtime. V'yotzin af al hakilayim. Now the Mishnah seems to imply that this is the time. This is a chiyuv to be yotzin al hakilayim. The problem is, of course, that in Shkolim we learned that the time to go out in kilayim was over a month before. Hakilayim b'cholo shomoi mafkin. That's when we go out to uproot the kilayim. V'raminu b'yachad b'adar mashvin al hashkalim v'al hakilayim. So first we make an announcement that people should know they have to be careful about kilayim sprouting in their fields and not to plant kilayim. It's a sign of planting some types of things. We mentioned Chamishasar. Notice that we skipped the 14th. The only real Purim is Purim Demun. That's not the reason we have the 15th. Is because we have a lot of things that happen on the 15th. We're not going to say everything in Adar. So we have the first and the 15th. The 15th we have the things like Kriyat Hamegillah and the Krachim Hamukafim and Viyotzinu Kavitzat Adrachim, which it's going to get time soon for the Aliyah L'Regel, and therefore we better get the roads into shape. And so we take off any dangerous things or thorns and things that are on the roads, litaken or chovot, the places where people camp out or where the marketplaces are, lamud hamikvaot. It's not exactly the correct lashon of the Mishnah, but in any event, there seems to be some different yourselves here that make it the same as the Mishnah. I mean, over there, it's betaknim et adrachim et rechovot, vet mikvot hamayin. Okay, it could be the gears that got a little mishubash. So it's not only, I mean, it could be that we're just coming to stress that we're looking not only for cleaning when it comes to the mikvot, we're looking to make sure that they're halachically usable, that people are going to be coming up to Yerushalayim, they need to make sure that they're tar. Yotzin kol tzorchei rabim umitzaynin et hakvarot v'yotzin hakilayim. Why it doesn't ask, I mean, it's interesting, it could have asked the other things. It could have asked about the rechovot, it could have asked about the mitzaynin et hakvarim, and it does bring something Yerushalayim, it does, and that it answers that it's talking about where there were heavy storms in between. In those kind of cases, with heavy storms in between, it would wash away the sits, you have to do it again. As far as the other things, I mean, the Rishonim say, look, I mean, obviously, things like fixing roads and so on, I mean, there's always things to do. The job may have even continued to extend, and our mission is just telling me that you're allowed to continue to work during Chol HaMoed. It doesn't mean that's the only time to do it, but if you're talking about the Kelayim, and the Kelayim is a one-time job, you know, if you've already taken care of it, why are you being Koveya now the time of Chol HaMoed to take care of it? How many times can you take care of the same thing? It's a one-time-a-year agricultural thing. So therefore, we ask on that, we don't ask on the other. But in any event, it does say over a month ago, we already were Yotzin al HaKelayim. Yotzin al HaKelayim is not something to be Mahriz. Yotzin means we go out, we check the fields, uprooted when it says. So how is it back again? So we have two approaches. Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin. Chara markando bachir kamba afil. So one says it depends basically on the crops. There are some people and some fields that produce early and some that produce later. So the time in between them is maximum of about a month. So we do it twice. The things that we see earlier, we go out earlier on, and the things that we see later, we go out again in case they weren't visible before. V'chara mara, they say, no. Actually, the shluchim concentrate on different species, you see. Kan bizraim, can be your akot. Depends what you're talking about. You're talking about the vegetable gardens. They are planted later, and you're not going to see the kilayim until later. That's under Chol HaShomoed. But if you're talking about the winter wheat crop, I mean, that you could do a month before, so we do it when we can do it. And that would be the normal time to do it. It would be in the 15th of Adar. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. By the way, I mean, don't think that this is like fixed in stone over here. I mean, Loshon HaLashen Nitzan Nikar. We're talking about over here sending out agricultural experts for inspection. I mean, but if Lamaisa, the case is that can grow it, and everybody can see that, I mean, it's already sprouted and it's visible to any passerby. So Nitzani Kayotzinalayan. We would send out people to warn the Bialim to get rid of them, or we'll do it ourselves. As soon as word comes in, I mean, you dial 107, I think was for Kalayim. Maishna b'cholo shamoi the nafkinan alayhem. It's a weird time. Chol HaMoed. Why would we go out during Chol HaMoed with that? It's cheaper to get workers than Chol HaMoed. And nobody's working. So what better time is there to save the tzibor money.
I think it'd be more expensive.
Oh, we'll see. No, because nobody's got work. They can't do their regular work. Actually, there's a shaila. So how can you get workers for this? It's usher to work because this isn't called. Well, if lamaisin is called, some learned the pashtus that this is called tzarchi rabbi. So if it's called tzarchi rabbim, so then of course it's mutter. So it's called tzarchi rabbim. I assume that the delay was because you needed to get a very special coffee this morning. Thank you.
Maybe I'll
get him a bit
sure.
How did he do with the drinking of the tea? He was good off. That is great. Okay, and Seinfeld continues. So some learn that that's the trap, but others who learn that, no, this is not really a function of Tzarchi Rabbi, because, I mean, it's the people in violation that is an issue of you. So some learn, Tosis is, by the way, he learns either it's talking about the heter, the normal heter, that someone, she'elo, po'el she'elo mayochal, we'll see later on, that their po'el she'elo mayochal is allowed to hire himself out. So maybe it's talking about those guys. Boy, I mean, you must really be in bad shape if even those guys are cheap. I mean, they're usually pretty cheap.
So. I think this, the guy who was willing to give up his chol moed would be
wonderful man. You're going to have to pay more.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the market forces are more powerful than the moral forces. So that's one possibility. The other possibility does this is maybe the Tzarech Mitzvah. Shabbat Avraham actually brings halacha that could be the Tzarech Mitzvah that there's no issue of taking a job.
Wouldn't
the Beis
Din
always consider Tzarech Rabbi? You gotta be kidding. Omer is V'itamer of Misharshia. So we see from here, says Rav Zid, look, I mean, if we're so concerned with the price, obviously this money is being paid not out of your tax dollars at work, but rather, or even better, as the Meiri points out of fines for the people that got caught. It's the best way to finance it. We send people around, and anybody that's found in violation of having kelayim is fined, so he pays basically for the costs of the inspectors. Well, what do we got to... Right? So then, of course, what do we care? So we'll take a little bit more money. What are we interested in violating Chol HaMoed in order to save these guys money? Let them pay more for their fight. So it seems from here that indeed this was viewed as one of the tzorachim that we recover the Trumas Halishka to maintain the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And Minister Tosis points out there's many things that we do be Trumat Halishka. And the way that we can do that is because Leiv Beitim Matne. There's a halacha that the Bezdin has a right to be Koveh, or Bezdin HaGadol, of course, that everything is given out daitam, so they have a right to be Koveh. Which elements of usage can be had, even though it's not mamish for the kedusha that it was given for? They make it snai that the shiare halishka will be able to use from various other needs. So apparently we're taking it from there, because if not, if lamaitz we're going to take it from the people that we found kelayim by, so why shouldn't we take more money? So then kol kamer abal, whatever we need to, let them pay. The at kama, what exactly would be the shear over here? I mean, it's not an iser kelayim. Even on one sprout. Omer Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Otashishanino. It's basically like the Mishnah says. Kol sa'ah sheyesh bo rova zera b'min acher yima'id. So in other words, if you have 1/24th of the growth, so this would be a rova. A rova kav would be 1/24th. Fourth of a sixth, then you'd have to be mamayit. Now the pashtus over here, the Tosfos points out, the pashtus of the sugya, many of the Rishonim talk about this, is that we're talking about already planted kelayim, whereas the pashtus of the Mishnah is that it's referring to seeds. And the measurement, remember that we measured seeds, this is the English seeds, not the Hebrew one we've been talking about, so that we measure seeds by the amount of ground that they would be capable in a standard planting of covering. So sa'a and roba, this would be actually shiurim that we would use for seeding, but that once the there were those sheetahs who held that once kelayim sprouted, so then any amount you have to take out. This was only a shayla of a bitel lechachila, the seeds become bottles, so then you can. So, but Tosfos says maybe it's not stira. I mean, maybe it could be really that the Gemara is assuming that both are true, even the seeds lechachila or the amount of kelayim that actually sprouted. It's very difficult to learn the sukkah like those sheetahs who hold that if it's actually there, then you have to get rid of all of it. It's a small amount. But it's an interesting idea because the pashtus would relate to the concept of it would be like somebody saying, So in my shatnas, how much linen do I need in my wool? Right? I mean, that's, isn't that the whole point? That it's the mixture. I mean, that's what we're talking about over here, kilayim, right? In other words, there's a point at which something kicks in to be kilayim. Because it has to be a recognized mixture. We're not talking about kilayim begodim over here. So if kilayim zrayim, it's only called kilayim. Remember, this was a klal b'klal throughout the whole sukkah in kilayim. The nicker, what it looks like. Before that, there's elements of bittul. So you could say, okay, but I mean, lamais, it's mixed. No, it's stam bottle. It only becomes mixed once it's nichlas and zalok of kilayim. So it's an interesting thing, because there's certainly, normally the contradiction. Kilayim means the mixture is us. So if it's a mixture, it should be bottle. That's what makes it us. Over here, it has to first be defined as kilayim in terms of the amount, and then, of course, it would be absurd to talk about bittul. Yeah, there's thousands of problem Jews, too. They pay good money when we catch them. So I didn't really know that. You mean the citizens. You mean the Big Brother is watching you kind of thing? So our Kalayim hotline in the end is
going to be Shmerit
HaKalayim. Yeah.
Taliban are loose. You say, Rashi bases this on the word Yima'et, which is not necessarily the only way to learn the sugya, because if you learn that Yima'et is not Yima'et in terms of once it's already planted, but Yima'et only in the Zrayim that you're going to plant. So then this is a little bit, but if we learn it Kepashas, the way we learn the sugya, then you said Yima'et, which is mashma, that the Shlichim need only to be Mamayet the amount of foreign growth to less than 124. But doesn't it say in the bride of Atanit Kinushu Mafkirim Kola Sadekula? Doesn't it say that you have to end up in Mafkir the entire field as part of the Takana, that they made that way? The fine, basically, is the production of the field. That's not a problem, because we know that we only got to that point where we were really an extremist over here. Initially, where we thought that people would respond nicely to a polite kind of dealing with their kilayim. So the shluchi would go around, they would be oker the kilayim, throw it in front of the animals of the owner. That would teach him a lesson. Ah, some lesson. Are you balei batim smechim? They went around saying, ah, this is wonderful. Shtei smachot. First of all, menashkilayim is do the hand. They say, look, they did such a great job of weeding. I didn't have to throw hay today. These guys are great. They should come every day. So then they made a takana that, okay, we're not going to feed your animals anymore. We'll teach you a lesson. We'll throw it out on the roads, and everybody's going to know. Adayin, I used to make things in Chagadolah. They still would go around. Ah, this is wonderful. Because, look, these guys come along just to be Menachesh Arsada. So at that point, there was nothing left to do. And that's what the writer was referring to. So contradiction to the original Takan of Yemayim.
Murphy's Law.
Why is that Murphy's Law?
Anything that can go wrong with them, they assume that it will be enough.
I don't know. We'll make this Ramati's Law. A variation. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Moshkin et ha-mayim mi'ilan le'ilan. So this we discussed earlier, of course, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Shita, that if you have water that's underneath one tree, so then it's easy to be Moshech, you simply draw a line in the ground and the water gets to the next tree. And this is talking about the trees, the approach that we took. There are a number of different approaches. We mentioned two earlier. I'm sorry, it was on the tape, but I say we mentioned, in case I assume you mentioned earlier, that there are a number of approaches. The two that we mentioned was that the ilanot themselves are considered to be the equivalent of a beit hashlachin, because they require around the roots a great deal of water, and the area between the trees, even if it's not planted with other things, would be useful for the trees. They would grow better because even the scattered roots would be able to pick up the water, and that way they would produce more, but that was considered to be harvacha. Mashenken, the area around the roots is considered to be a question of minyas hefzed directly, so it would be a davar avet. That's one way of learning. Another way of learning is that enafinami, in between the trees over here, it's talking about that we do have Zrayim, and they require less than the roots of the trees, so you're not allowed to be Yashket, call us that, because we're talking about over here. Again, it would be Zrayim, because it's a Beit HaBaal as far as the Zrayim are concerned. Zrayim Shaloshatu Lifnei HaMoed, Lo Yashkem B'Moed. So if you have now Zrayim that did not need water before, so you didn't get them used to water, so now you cannot go ahead and be Mashke them during the moment, because now they're not going to be a dover ava because they didn't get used. If you don't start them on water, then they don't need the water yet. The chachamim matirim b'zeh b'zeh. Shenken the chachamim they're matir first of all to be mashke kol asalekula. This chachamim is Rabbi Meir. Remember, Rabbi Meir said before that even maharvacha was mutter, so that you would be allowed to be mashke even the say beit habal. Therefore, you're basically dealing with the say beit habal. Why not get it going and let it produce earlier and so on? And this is Rabbi Meir's shita classic. Im haitas sadeh mitunemet mutar. When Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says you're not allowed to be mashke sadeh, that's not always true. Because a sadeh mitunenet is a field that had been watered on from underground sources, which suddenly dried. Now you're definitely going to lose it. So he's also moda that you can be mashke the entire field because it's called super loss. Pseda yesera. Therefore, you'd be even allowed to go to tircha to avoid pseda yesera. Tanya nami yachik kishamlu asur lahashkotam b'moed lo amru ela b'zraim shelo shatu lifdei ha-moed avazraim sheshatu lifdei ha-moed. If you have things now that are used to water, it's sort of like hydroponics. You know, if you turn off those, it's a disaster. If something goes wrong even one day, you can lose everything because they're basically dependent on that seder of getting their water. So over here, you'll have a complete loss. Then it would be mutter. The ein mashkin sedei grid b'moed. You don't water a state grid. Say grid is a field that is used to always being yavesh. Tosis learns that it's a normal base habal, but others learn that this is a uniquely dry type of ground where they whatever grows there is used to those conditions. V'chachamim matirim b'zeh b'zeh. V'chachamim matir even a sacred and even zraim shalosh atu lifnei habal. Again, being Rabbi Meir. Omer Ravina, Shema Amina, Hai Tarbitza, Shari V'Tarbutzi B'chula D'Mu'ata. It seems from here that a garden, you would be allowed to turn on the sprinklers, even though there's not going to be any kind of hefset. Because, look, I mean, why are we being matir? The state greed my timer. The state greed we're being matir you over here. Now, the Pashtus is he's going to leave it to Rabbi Meir, correct? Because that's the only time, only reason you can bring a rifle from state greed. Because Rabbi Elazar Yaakov said you can't do a state greed. So we'll see. This is something of a problem. Since we don't pass them like Rabbi Meir, we have to pass them like Kavanaki. So we would pass them like him. Tosis, therefore, has a whole different approach. But let's first take the simple approach. So if we're allowed to water a state grid, what would be the purpose of that? Only because the afla mashvelei harpa. Because basically things that will ultimately grow, you're going to get them to grow faster and they'll be plumper and juicier. So hachidami afla mashvelei harpa. Aren't you doing the same thing for your garden? So now, again, Tosis says, but that doesn't make sense because we don't pass them like Rabbi Meir. This is a typical case of Mishnas Rebbe Eliezer's Kavanah. So why would we do such a thing? Not to mention the fact, points out Tosfos, that before, Ravina was the man, the armor, who said that you can be the Galin by the Yerakot was only Lo Chulam and not Lo Yafotan. So that means that he himself was made that you can't do Harvacha. Although, of course, there were other approaches to Liafotam over there. So he wants to say that the Pshat is over here, the halacha of Tarbutzi. Tarbutzi is to be understood as being something different than Hashka'a. Hashka'a means deep water. That deep watering is Tircha. Tarbutzi would be the equivalent in our terms of turning on the sprinkler. There's no Tircha involved at all. So it means a light water, sprinkled. And what he's doing is he's saying that, look, in the same way that, that I understand that the Tanakhama holds that's also, the Rabbanan holds that's not even considered to be just larva. So in the same way that they are matir, full watering, so it doesn't make sense that he would ask, or Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would ask for just a little bit of a sprinkle. So we sort of prorated to them a greater loss or a greater desire for harvacha would allow you a greater tircha. So for Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, some level of harvacha would allow you just to turn on the sprinkling system. According to that, it could work out a few. I'll leave it to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Turn around one. Marbitzim stelavan b'shvi'it avolo b'moed. So first, one brisa says that a stelavan, again, if this approach is correct, then it would mean to just to sprinkle. So that you could do during Shemitah, because we already saw before that there's no real Isser of watering. Remember, we had the whole sugya earlier of whether there is there really an Isser on Shviyas of watering, or is it only a din of Melachas that would be Nogea the Moed. So the Pashan, it says over here, the Shviyas, okay, so we weren't makbid on just light sprinkling, but during the Chol HaMoed, we are. Ivatanya Marbitzin Bein B'Moed Bein B'Shviyas, to which Ravuna replied, Lokash Arab Elazar ben Yaakov, or Rabbanu. So in one case, we're going to be Matir, that's going in. According to the Rabbanan, we're Matir. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it would be us. Tanya Idach, my bitzit stay love on Erev Shviyis k'day sheyetsu yirakot b'shviyis. The minig was that after you finished now harvesting, you would water the field in order to get any type of wild things that were growing there to grow. So over here, you want things to grow up during Shviyis. So you could water your stay love. The stay love, by the way, is why we usually refer to a grain field, because the grain ends up being the white towards the end. After it's filled, you have these great patches, not of green, but of white areas. There are others learn that it's white because of the sun. So all it's supposed to sun is supposed to canopy. So it means loven is supposed to the canopy of trees. But patch is referenced to green directly. Because we'd like to have as much growing during Shviyis as we can. Since over here what we're talking about are things that are not usher during Shemitah as Aveda Zakarka, and we're not doing it, Rashi learns, and we're not doing it in order to get growth during Shemitah, which would be usher. So we could do it before Shemitah for Shemitah, we do it during Shemitah for after Shemitah. Other Shemitahs learn exactly the opposite, including the other Rashi, that during Shemitah for sure it's mut, Kadeshi Yates. Because it doesn't make it more of an Aveda Zakarka, Kadeshi Yates. Why should it be usher? Okay, this is a whole sheet that considers things that are going to actually happen during Shviyas to be more of an Avedas Karka, by definition. Sadina ta Ishut. Ishut, Tosus learns, is a Chulda. He brings from Yerushalmi, is a Chulda. We're going to see what the basis is for calling it an Ishut of the Pasuk. But it's a mole. Ve'eta Afbarim, and we can also now, so we can trap moles and mice from a stay ilan, where they do a lot of damages to the root systems, and mistei lavan, they eat the produce. Kedarko, the moed of Shviyas. We'll see what kedarko means, but in other words, there's no shinoi that's necessary in the trapping mode. Ve'chachomim omrim, no. It depends. If it's a stay at Ilan, there the losses are very heavy because it actually damages trees. So there you could do it kedarko. But if you stay Lavan, you could only do it shalok kedarko. There's a machlokas. We've shown him whether this means that the Chacham Omer even during Shviyas. Is there a problem, a real problem of Avodas Karka during Shviyas? What exactly is the isser of trapping moles during Shviyas? I mean, I'm saying if it's a question of malacha, fine. But it's certainly not something you do for the ground itself, is it? So there's a machlokas. Tosu says that in order to trap, you need to remove these stones because that often covers the hole. So you're ending up doing sikul. You do sikul, so then you are working on Shviyas. So it would be nagei even Shviyas. Others learn that be'etzem, things that create a situation and allows you to plant better, to service your agriculture, but it's itself considered by definition avedas karka. So it really would be also Shviyas. And others learn that it looks as if you're going around doing work in your... So it's really one of those chashashas that we had earlier, the types of alakas that are, we don't do on Shviyas, because people will say that you're working the ground and not digging up holes for moles, but you're digging up because you're planting. Ask to the Gemara, what exactly is an ishus? Amar Rav Yehuda, b'riyasha ila inai. It means this... Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Yeah, what happens after 24 hours? Umakrin umikarin et apirtzab. If you have now a break in a wall, you're allowed to fix it up during Chol HaMoed. We'll see mikarin in what sense. That's not directed binyan. And in Shviyas, you can actually be bona normally, because there you don't have an iser. Malacha. So what's the problem in Shviyas? Well, why would I thought it's usher? Even though it looks like you're trying to keep people out of your field, which is usher, but we're not backed on that. My issue, what exactly is an issue? Tom Rav Yehuda, it's a birya she'en la'inai. It's a creature that is basically blind as a mole. And the truth is that moles look like they don't have eyes. You know, they're so tiny little eyes. Plus the fact they don't really see very much when they come out of ground because they're completely stunned by the light. You know? And there actually are moles that that end up losing their eyes. They don't really lose the eyes, but the eyes have never come out to the surface. So there are blind birias. By the way, they just found, if you read about this incredible ecosystem that they found here in Israel, Mamish, amazing. They found a very large tunnel, I think it's 12 kilometers, that had in it dozens of new species that had never been found anywhere else. Just Mamish last year. Here in Eretz Israel, like the last thing you would expect to find over here. Huh? All types of, yeah, living things, all types of, like, yeah. No wonder they couldn't recognize the species. And some of them indeed were blind. They had no eyes. Why is referring to blind beard?
Is that aspect of adapting?
Yeah, exactly. If they never come out, so you end up eventually becomes a shame it didn't happen to your appendix. Huh? I say shame it didn't happen to your appendix. It keeps hanging around.
No.
Well, that's the thing. That's why you wouldn't have had to go through all of that. Huh? I'm a rubber by Yishmael. Omar Rabba Bar Yishmael, Vitema Rabbi Yehima Bar Shalmia. My crow, where did they decide, especially if you learn this in normal Chulda, like Rabbi Shalmi says, I mean, what lotion are they using that they call this an Ishus? Basically, on the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says over there, Kumoshablul Temes Yalov. We were talking about Rishayim should be like a snail that's lost its covering, so it just sort of melts away, especially when the kids sprinkle salt on it. You know? So it just melts away. Or Nefel Eshet Bal Chazu Shemesh. So it's like a fetus of a mole that, you know, looks, I mean, you've never seen those things that look like unbelievably unroy for life. It's something that has never seen the sun. That's the way these Rishayim should be, just to wither away. Omer Rav Abba Yishwami, how I said that. Roshav L'tameh. Ton Rabban. Thodin Esa Ishus V'Sech Borim Misteh HaLavan Misteh HaYilan Kedarko. One of the sheet is here. U'machrivim Chorenim Alim. And you can also destroy antholes because of the damage that they do to the field. Ah, Ketzad Machrivim. Now this is a real issue. How do you destroy an anthole? I mean, anybody tried destroying an anthole discovers that it's a lot more expensive than he thought. It certainly doesn't help to just push it in the top. You know? That's going to last about 2 seconds. Right? But what do? The Gemara has a biological warfare approach on it. It's a very question. Ketzad Machrivim. As Rav Shimon Gamliel says, what you do is you bring afar Michorzev, and Atom Atom Chorzev. He takes a little bit of one anthole, you pour it into another anthole, and that absolutely drives them crazy. No, it's because of the pheromones that they detect invaders, basically. Ant warfare. They end up destroying each other. They go wild. Right? And Konkin Zed Zed. It's a fantastic idea.
No, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The problem is they're not sensitive enough to smells. You know, but maybe a different colored scarf or a different colored kippah. That would do it any time. Yeah. Okay, I mean, that's probably the real pshat. I mean, others learned it just because of the dirt itself, so it drives the particular ants crazy. I think the chorzeh is not simply the dirt from a different place, and we could go with those rishonim and learn that it's ant warfare. Omer of Yemar Barsham, who declared betray Avrei Nahar. This is only in a case where the ants have not become accustomed to that dirt, because if they're already, I mean, if it's within their territory, so then they've already ranged across that area, and they've reached some kind of accommodation, they're used to those smells, and so it must be that it's on two sides of a river, but of course that's only if there's no bridge. I mean, the ants have a bridge, you know. So with a gishra, it's only if you don't have a bridge. And for that matter, I mean, the ants don't even need really a Brooklyn Bridge. I mean, you could even have a gamla. A gamla is just like a board that's lying, or a tree, that tree that's lying across, then they can get across that too, even without the Brooklyn Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Is this? How is that?
It's less pronounced. I think it's a camel's hump. It's like a small access. Yeah.
Interesting. On Vohudalaka Mitzra, for that matter, even if they've got one of those rope things where you just hold on and you cross by holding on to the rope, the ants get over the rope also. So then they've roamed. Ad kama. How far away? Ad kama. How far away? There's obviously two approaches here. Tosfos brings both approaches. Ad kama, you could mean that without the nahar in between, what would be the maximum distance of the ranging, so that beyond that you wouldn't need to have the tree have a nahar? Or ad kama could mean even if where there is a nahar. So what is considered to be makiri? Okay, so ad parsa. The shear would be basically 4 kilometers. And beyond that, they're not makiri. All kinds of nice agriculture information. V'dilma tumim v'gavoy v'ilonis mivaroy. But Daniel Mot Seven Akat Mitsuyena Takfea Tamei Shtai Mimesh Choresh Benayim Benayim Tahor. Vimlav Benayim Tamei, by the way, Tosfos has a different use as Cheres Benayim, which is a variation on the marking system that could be used on the ground as opposed to seed, pieces of Cheres. So according to him, the whole sugya is different than the way we read it. So then, Dafki Yesh Choresh Benayim, Benayim Tahor, Vimlav Benayim Tamei, Omrev Papa, Ocha Kishasik Shafur Charoshehem. That's why because there you can assume that it was bechoresh machmat choresh should be kapil. V'lo sid the beni over tamei. Omer Vaz, Meitzer Echad Mitzuyanu Tamei V'Cholosada Kula Torah. Shnayim Him Tamei V'Cholosada Kula Torah. Shlosha Him Tamei V'Cholosada Kula Torah. But once it's on all four sides, then Ein Tehorin V'Cholosada Kula immediately beyond is Tmeyah. The Omer Vayin Marchik Etzion Mimakom Tumash Lo Lafsid Et Eretz Yisrael. V'Yotzin Hafala Kilayim, Kilayim V'Cholosamoy Nafkinan. I thought Raminu bechad v'adar v'ashmiin alashkalim alakelaim v'chamisha sabokorim tamigila v'krachim v'yotzin lekavetzit adrachim l'taken rechovot v'et hamikvot r'bomud hamikvot v'osim kol tzorchei ramim v'mitzaynin et hakvot v'yotzin alakelaim. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina chad amar kan b'bachir kan b'afil v'chad amar kan b'zraim kan b'irakot om Rav Asi, om Rav Yochel v'ashon ala she'en nitzan nikar aval nitzan nikar yotzin alayhem. Maishla b'chol shemayim v'nafkinan. Om Rabbi Yaakov, Om Rabbi Yochanan, b'shem schar pula, d'muz v'gaban. Om Rabbi Zvid v'temer v'shar, she'ah, so then shema mina, ki avinu l'sachar, must be mitrumat alishka yavinu. And we rely on Leif Beit Din, because Isa k'daitach mididu yavinu, my nafkanan mina yavkam adabar, nitenu. Vat kama, Om Rabbi Shurba Yitzchak, kotash shaninu, kol sa'ah, sheyesh barova zera l'mina acher, Yima 8. What's any kinu shiu mafkirun kol asada kula? What's this Yima 8? Lokashi kan kodem takana kan liyacha takana adetanya. Brishana, you okrinu mashlichin if they bim tamma you baalei batim smetim shtei smachot. Achat shi menachshin lehen sdoteyem. Ve achat shi mashlichin if they bim tam. Ikinu shiu okrinu mashlichin ala drachim. Vadai no yu smechin simcha gdola shi mashlichin sdoteyem. Ikinu shiu mafkirun kol asada kula. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Amr Moshkin at Amayim Ilan, Ilan, Bavad, Shlo Yashket, Kol HaSadeh, Zroim, Shlo Shatu Bifte HaMoed, Lo Yashkin BaMoed, V'Chachamim Matirim Bezeo Bezeo, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Im Hayta Sadeh Metunenet Mutar, Tanya Miyachi, Kishamru Asur Lashketan BaMoed, Lo Amr Rabbi Zroim, Shlo Shatu Bifte HaMoed, Ava Zroim, Shlo Shatu Bifte HaMoed, Mutar Lashketan BaMoed, Im Hayta Sadeh Metunenet Mutar, Vein Mashkin Stay Greed BaMoed, V'Chachamim Matirim Bezeo Bezeo, Amr Rabbi Neshma Mina, Hay Tarbit שער דתרבוצי בחוד דמואדה סטיי גריד מיי טיימר דאף פמאש פון חרפ אפילו אני אפ פמאש פון חרפ טן רבן מרביצים סטיי לאבן בשביעית אבל עוד במועד ועתניה מרביצים בין במועד בין משביעית אמר ונו לקש אותו לא זבן יעקב הרבנן תני דח מרביצים סטיי לאבן ערב שביעית כדי שיצאו ירקות בשביעית לא עוד אלא שמרביצים סטיי לאבן בשביעית כדי שיצאו ירקות למוצאי שביעית ומחלוקס about what the din is during Shviit, for Shviit, Rashi of Yerasring, other Rishonim, mostly Matim. So dina taishut vata achbarim mistei ha'ilan, mistei alavan, kidarko b'moed u'b'shviit, v'chachamim amrim, mistei ha'ilan kidarko, mistei alavan shalot kidarko, u'mekarin et ha'pirtza b'moed u'b'shviit bone kidarko. My ishut, amravir abirya she'en la'inayim. Omer Rav Bar Yishma, Vitem Rav Yemer Basham, Ya Maikra, Kamo Shavlu Temes Yalech, Nefel Eshet, Bal Chazu Shamesh. Ton Rabban, et Sadin et Ayishut, et Achvarim, Mistei Halavan, Mistei Ailan Kedarko, Umachrivim Chorei Nemalim, Ketzad Machrivim, Rav Shem Gamliel Omer Medi Afar, Michor Ze, Vnoten Ato Chor Ze, Ven Chonkin Ze Et Ze, Omer Rav Yemer Basham, Ya Mishmede Abaye, Vuhu Dekoy Betrei Avri Nahara, V'hu d'leka gishra, v'hu d'leka gamra, v'hu d'leka mitzra. Ad kama, ad parsa. We actually refer to terrorist nests as nests.